Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Local roundups, man arrested in connection to October bar fight. An Odessa man was arrested Thanksgiving in connection with an October bar fight and shooting incident that left one man unconscious. According to an Odessa Police Department report, someone from Poho's Neon Moon called 911 around 1:20 a.m. October 22nd to report shots had been fired at the lounge on Kermit Highway. When officers arrived, two off-duty bouncers from the lounge told them other bar patrons had told them there was a fight out in the parking lot, and they found a 24-year-old man unconscious on the ground behind his car and another man retrieving a handgun from inside the car, the report stated. After getting the gun, the men said the man fired around in the air and then took turns pointing the gun at the two of them, getting more irate as they tried to calm him down, the report stated. They told officers he fired at them once and ran toward a nearby apartment complex. They told officers one of the men tended to the unconscious man as the other one chased the gunman, who, they said, had a pair of brass knuckles confiscated from him earlier in the night after he dropped them, according to the report. The unconscious man was taken to Medical Center Hospital. Officers found two bullets and a spent 9mm shell casing near the car. They also saw video surveillance of the unconscious man speaking with a man matching the description of the gunman provided by the bouncers, according to the report. The bouncers and the officers found the unconscious man's profile on Facebook and found the suspect listed as a friend on the page. The report stated, a warrant was issued for James Anthony Kennedy, Jr., 28, on October 28th. He was booked into the Ector County Jail on suspicion of two counts of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon Thursday. He remained in the jail on surety bonds totaling $100,000 Monday. Man accused of aggravated assault. A 20-year-old Odessa man was arrested early Thanksgiving morning after another man accused him of punching him repeatedly and chasing him with a knife. According to an Odessa Police Department report, officers received a shots-fired call around 2:45 a.m. Thursday from the 1200 block of Pueblo Street. When officers arrived, they were told a 19-year-old man was visiting his brother when he got into an argument with Noah Flores. The report stated, the teen told officers Flores hit him in the back of the head with closed fists and then chased him out of the house with a black knife. Officers found a black knife in Flores's pocket, the report stated. Flores was arrested on suspicion of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, a second-degree felony, punishable by 2 to 20 years in prison. He remained in the Ector County Jail Monday on a $25,000 surety bond. Overdose call leads to arrest. Officers dispatched to an overdose call Friday ended up making a felony drug arrest. According to an Odessa Police Department report, officers received a call about an overdose victim around 10 p.m. Friday from the 4800 block of East University Boulevard. When officers arrived, they decided to search a Ford Ranger after smelling marijuana, and they found four THC cartridges containing 1,000 milligrams each inside a box of peaches, the report stated. The driver of the Ford, Ryan Alexis Eubanks, 18, told officers he bought the cartridges, according to the report. Eubanks was arrested on suspicion of possession of a controlled substance, a second-degree felony, punishable by 2 to 20 years in prison. He was released from the Ector County Jail Sunday after posting a $20,000 surety bond. Man arrested on suspicion of forging governmental records. An Odessa man who visited the Ector County Jail Saturday ended up staying longer than he anticipated when he was arrested on a felony charge. According to an Odessa Police Department report, an officer arriving at the jail around 5:15 p.m. saw two people getting out of a Nissan Rogue with a temporary paper license plate due to expire December 27th. The officer noticed a letter on the plate wasn't in the right spot, and when he ran the plate, he couldn't find it in the state database. When the two people got back to the car and started to leave about 30 minutes later, the officer pulled them over, the report stated. Joaquin Tejeda Osorio, 46, gave the officer his license, voter ID card, insurance card, and a fictitious receipt for the temporary license plate, the report stated. The officer ran the vehicle identification number on the Nissan and discovered Osorio had purchased it in April and its original temporary plate expired June 21st, according to the report. Osorio was arrested on suspicion of forgery of a governmental records, a third-degree felony punishable by 2 to 10 years in prison. Osorio remained in the Ector County Jail Monday on a $15,000 surety bond and an Immigration and Customs Enforcement hold. Suspected thief arrested. Surveillance video and Crime Stopper tips led to the arrest Friday of a 44-year-old Del Rio man who is accused of stealing thousands of dollars of tires, winches, and lug nuts from Nationwide Trailers on two separate occasions. According to Odessa Police Department reports, the manager of the Interstate 20 business called police on November 2nd to report someone had cut their fence sometime in the previous week and removed 8 winches, 14 set of lug nuts, 14 wheels and tires worth nearly $22,000. The manager told officers the thief also caused more than $2,500 in damage to 8 trailers by cutting electrical wires to steal the winches, the report stated. 2 weeks later, the manager called police back to say the same man had returned, cut another hole in the fence, and stole 20 tires worth nearly $2,100. According to the report, the suspect was seen on camera getting out of a Hummer H3 SUV that was pulling a trailer, cutting the hole, crawling through, and stealing the tires, the report stated. Using the surveillance video and Crime Stopper tips, authorities identified Lance Allen Lister as a suspect and warrants for his arrest were issued. According to the OPD report, investigators also were helped because they realized Lister was indicted for stealing tires and wheels from Energy Sales in August 2021, but the charge was dismissed in May 2022 after he paid restitution. The report also indicates Lister has 2 or more theft convictions, and most recently of which were in Tom Green County. Lister was booked into the Ector County Jail on suspicion of 3 counts of theft of property, $2,500, $30,000. He remained in custody Monday on surety bonds totaling $30,000. Both charges are state jail felonies punishable by 6 months to 2 years in prison if prosecutors don't see enhanced sentences. Mom accused of leaving son alone. An Odessa mom was arrested Wednesday night after her 9-year-old son told police his parents left him alone for nearly 7 hours and he was locked outside his house without adequate clothing. According to an Odessa Police Department report, dispatchers received a 911 call around 6:45 p.m. after a boy jumping in traffic near West 10th Street and North Kelly Avenue. When an officer arrived, they found the boy dressed in a t-shirt and jeans despite it being dark out and 58 degrees, the report stated. The boy said his parents had left him back home alone since noon and he couldn't get back inside his residence in the 900 block of North Lauderdale because he couldn't reach the latch on the 5-foot-tall wooden fence to his backyard. The officer entered the home through the backyard but couldn't find any adult's home, the report stated. The boy didn't know his parents' cell phone number, but the officer found one for his mom, Allison Faye Zimmerman, and called her at 7:15 p.m. Zimmerman, 37, admitted she left the boy alone, but said she left at 6:30 p.m. and he'd been inside, according to the report. She told the officer she was in the process of moving and she couldn't take the boy with her because she only had a 2-car seat U-Haul. The officer stated in his report the boy was placed in imminent danger due to him being left locked out of his residence for about 1 hour, close by to a not lighted roadway, and without proper clothing for the temperature outside, nor a call to his parents for help. Zimmerman was arrested on suspicion of abandoning a child with intent to return, a state jail felony punishable by 6 months to 2 years in prison. She was released from the Ector County Jail Thanksgiving Day after posting a $2,500 surety bond. Obituaries for Tuesday, November 29th. Robert Michael Howell, Jr., 50, passed away in Waterville, Maine on Wednesday, October 12th. He was born on January 20th, 1972 in Odessa. To Robert Michael Howell Sr. and Billy Darlene Key Howell. He is survived by his parents, Robert Howell Sr. and wife Vera of Odessa, and Billy Darlene Key Seal and husband Glenn, Orr City, Texas. Brothers Jeffrey, Jared, and Kenny Howell. Sisters Melanie Ormsby, Amanda Baker, and Jenny Abreu, and other step-family members. He is preceded in death by both sets of biological grandparents, 2 uncles and 1 aunt, 1 cousin, 2 stepfathers, and 1 step-grandmother. Memorial services are to take place on Thursday, December 1st at 7 p.m. Central Time at the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints Chapel at 5401 JBS Parkway, Odessa. Those wishing to view the memorial remotely can do so on Zoom for the link email rmhjzoomlink@hotmail.com. Instead of flowers, please consider donating to these organizations that Michael was an active supporter of: Mid-Maine Homeless Shelter of Waterville, Maine, the Humane Society, Military Veterans of America, Food Bank, Pantries, and Soup Kitchens. Paula Diane Newman Jackson passed away Saturday, November 5th, in San Angelo after a hard-fought battle with cancer. Born June 29, 1950, in Stamford, Texas, to Nancy Pitcock Newman and James Newman, Paula was the second child and daughter to her parents. Paula is survived by Larry, her loving and faithful husband of 51 years, daughter Carmen Womack, and son-in-law Jim of Big Spring, Texas, son Timothy Jackson of Mullen, and granddaughters Jordan Womack of Marshall, Texas, and Carter Womack of Big Spring, grandson Hunter Jackson, brothers Russell Newman and wife Tina, and Frank Newman and wife Babette of Melbourne, brother-in-law John Jackson and wife Laura of Hawkins. Also Randy Jackson of Odessa, as well as numerous nieces and nephews. She was preceded in death by her father James Newman, mother Nancy Newman Armstrong, and sister Carol Newman, as well as her father-in-law, J.W. Jackson, and mother-in-law Barbie Bobby Jackson. In lieu of flowers, please donate to American Cancer Society or Hospice of San Angelo.
MCT's A Christmas Carol opens Friday, LED wall debut, by Morgan Taylor Thomas. Not only a classic holiday story, but a Midland Community Theater favorite, A Christmas Carol opens on the Davis Theater 1 stage, 2000 West Wadley Avenue, at 7:30 p.m. Friday. The performance will also run 7:30 p.m. Saturday and 2:30 p.m. Sunday. This will be the first time the new LED installation will be used in a performance. 7 years after the death of his business partner Jacob Marley, mean old miser Ebenezer Scrooge receives a haunting visit from the past associate, warning him to change his ways before it's too late. Ignoring the advice, three more spirits visit Scrooge, only this time they're him, past, present, and future. After unwillingly looking through his life, Scrooge is forced to open his eyes. Other showings of A Christmas Carol will be December 2 and 3, 9 through 11, and 16 and 17. Tickets can be bought at mctmidland.org. Midland Community Theater's A Christmas Carol opens Friday. LED Wall Debut by Morgan Taylor Thomas. Not only a classic holiday story, but a Midland Community Theater favorite, A Christmas Carol opens on the Davis Theater 1 stage, 2000 West Wadley Avenue, at 7:30 p.m. Friday. The performance will also run 7:30 p.m. Saturday and 2:30 p.m. Sunday. This will be the first time the new LED installation will be used in a performance. 7 years after the death of his business partner, Jacob Marley, mean old miser Ebenezer Scrooge receives a haunting visit from the past associate, warning him to change his ways before it's too late. Ignoring the advice, three more spirits visit Scrooge, only this time they're him, past, present, and future. After unwillingly looking through his life, Scrooge is forced to open his eyes. Other showings of A Christmas Carol will be December 2 and 3, 9 through 11, and 16 and 17. Tickets can be bought at mctmidland.org. Midland Soup Kitchen Ministry holds 36th Annual Thanksgiving Lunch by Stuart Doreen. The Midland Soup Kitchen Ministry held its 36th annual Thanksgiving lunch at its building in Southeast Midland, 1401 Orchard Lane. Nancy, Jason, Jay, Anthony, and Nathan Ivy, and numerous volunteers made sure those who stopped by enjoyed turkey, family recipe stuffing, pie, and more Wednesday. Volunteers include people from the Midland County Sheriff's Office, the Legacy High School girls basketball team, and Matthews Martial Arts. The Ivies stated 37 turkeys were cooked with the help of Down South Seafood. 9 trays of stuffing were made and 100 pies were served. The next holiday meal will take place December 22 when the Midland Soup Kitchen Ministry holds its Christmas celebration. The ministry served around 900 people for its Christmas meal last year.
Hi, this is Jack. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Tuesday, November 29th, education section. MHS Theater Troupe earns honors at Texas Thespians Festival. Midland High School Theater performed well at the recent Texas Thespians State Festival. The Wild Bunch Women and the Shakespeare Stealer performed on the main stage and earned the following. Best Actor, Blaine Wheelis. Best Supporting Actress, Zev Collins. Best Station Manager, Best Stage Manager, Marissa Barones. Best Set, Best Props, Best Ensemble, Best Costumes, Best Makeup. Midland High School Troop 3376 was named an All-Star Troop. Zaniel Watts received a $3,500 scholarship, one of only two at this level to receive the award. Ryan Perez Castaneda also received a $1,000 scholarship. Midland High seniors have more than 100 callbacks to colleges and universities from all over the country in acting, technical theater, and theater education. Legacy High School Louds Honor Students. Legacy High School celebrated its National Merit Commended Scholar and Advanced Placement Scholars during a reception this month in the library. Awards go to National Merit Commended Scholar Cole Goodman, AP Scholar with Distinction, Janik Bakta, Zyra Briggs, David Dossett, Gabriella Pfluger-Grau. AP Scholar with Honor, Tyler Connell, Madeline Green, Elise Whittingham. AP Scholar, Christian Alaniz, Elizabeth Babel, Braden Baylor, Bryson Baylor, Nathan Shute, Chelsea Courtney, Sawyer Ebenstein, Tiffany Elwood, Claire Hall, Kendall Harrington, Jasmine Henley, Gia Wang, Emily Jones, Memphis Lawson, Ariana Loya, Avery McPherson, Lang Mall, Audrey McEnany, Annika Manise, Madison Ojeda, Nicole Patel, Carissa Perez, Rodolfo Rios, Benjamin Roberts, Cameron Scott, Janelle Strode. National Hispanic Recognition Award goes to Elizabeth Garcia, Gabriella Pulger-Grau, Annabella Willis, and John Willis. Scarborough Elementary teacher seeks STEM tools. Ms. Morgan, a first grade teacher at Scarborough Elementary, is seeking STEM tools for her class. Donations for this project expire on January 25th. There is $1,109 needed to fully fund it. These materials will reach 22 students, according to the Post. Morgan claims her students love learning and stress the importance of science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. Having a strong foundation in math, science, STEM, and coding will set them up for success, Morgan posted. Donate online at donorschoose.org/project/magicalmathematicians.
Concerned about low white blood cell count. Dear Dr. Roach, I have someone close to me who was having chest pains and back pains for about a month. This person went to the ER where they did an EKG and a chest x-ray, and they also took blood tests. Everything came back looking good. The person was told they have acid reflux, which is understandable because my friend hasn't been eating right. But about 40 minutes later, my friend got a call saying something else showed up and that their white blood count was low, 2.1. Any reason for concern? BE. Answer. The normal range for a white blood cell count is from about 3.5 to about 11. That's actually 3,500 to 11,000 white blood cells per microliter. When we see white blood counts that are low, we generally repeat them to be sure there wasn't an error, and if persistent, your friend should visit a regular doctor or hematologist, blood expert. There may be many possibilities. Medications and infections are common causes. A familiar condition called Duffy Null produces low white cell counts but doesn't cause problems such as recurrent infections. Unfortunately, low white cell counts can sometimes indicate a severe bone marrow problem, so your friend does need to get an evaluation if the repeat test still shows a very low count.
This is the Dear Abby column. Bride-to-be doesn't want sister in wedding party. Dear Abby, I became engaged to a wonderful man 5 months ago. We have set a wedding date for next year. I'm ecstatic and thrilled to be planning such an important milestone in my life. I'm the youngest of five girls. Four of us are extremely close. Three of my sisters have graciously offered to help with the wedding, planning, and preparation. I have included them in my bridal party, matron of honor, two bridesmaids, and two of my teenage nieces as junior bridesmaids. There's one big issue. My parents and two of my sisters insist that I include my oldest sister, Iris, in my bridal party, even though she has a mental illness, schizophrenia. She is medicated, but still speaks to her voices. I love her, but I don't find it appropriate to include her in my wedding. My matron of honor is supportive and agrees it would be unwise. However, my remaining family is guilt-tripping me because Iris missed out on two of my sister's weddings due to being in a psychiatric facility. She lives with my retired parents now and requires care and supervision. Am I wrong for not wanting to risk including her on my big day? Signed, Future Bride in Kentucky. Dear Future Bride, weddings are family events that can sometimes strain relationships. As with all conflict, communication and compromise are the key. Discuss your concerns with your parents, sisters, and fiancé, and consider their opinions and advice. Get assurances of their help to ease your concerns and raise your comfort level. More important, respectfully discuss your feelings and concerns with Iris. Instead of being in the bridal party, she might be happy with a less prominent role while still being part of the celebration. You may not realize how hurt she would be if she's excluded from this family milestone. Thankfully, you are healthy and stepping into a bright future. It would be wonderful if Iris could share in this joyful occasion. However, include her only if your parents and siblings are willing to guarantee that should her presence become a distraction or disruptive, they will quietly and immediately remove her. Dear Abby, while having dinner with a group of friends, the subject came up about giving Christmas gifts to grandchildren, nieces, nephews, and godchildren after a certain age. Some said they stopped giving at 18 years of age. Others said they stopped doing it when the recipients start their own families. A few of us still give to kids well into their 40s. Is there a certain age to stop? Or is it up to the individual? Signed, Generous in Illinois. Dear Generous, there is no one-size-fits-all answer to this question. It depends on the individual, how many relatives there are, and whether the gift-giving is creating a financial squeeze. You can write to Dear Abby at dearabby.com or P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069. Her column is distributed by Universal Press Syndicate.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.